Somebody want to start reading at verse 1?
And the Lord visited Sarah, as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah as he had spoken.
Let's stop right there. What is the big deal about as he said and as he was spoken? Why is it saying it in such a untrusting way?
Because he spoke a baby over and it took a long time to
happen. Okay. And also they tried to help God and take care of the problem.
Themselves.
I know. Which definitely made life more challenging.
Mm-hmm.
But finally, God comes through. Have any of you felt that way before?
Yes.
Finally, God, how many years was it? Can anybody tell me?
25. I thought you said 25.
Okay. It was 25 years. How old is she?
In her 90s.
She is 90 years old. And she's having her first child. At 90 years old. The good, here's the good news though. They have lots of servants. So the servants can help take care of the baby and she won't have to do so much. How old is Abraham?
100.
He is 100 years old. The reason that finally is there, by the way, the 100 shows up is in verse 3. It's one of those things where God made a promise and he let the possibility die. How did he let the possibility die?
Because it's just things in the
wrong hands. No, that's not the question I'm asking. What caused it to die? What did you say?
Because Sarah shouldn't have been able to have a baby. It would have
her time of life was
right.
Over.
Oh.
By the way, Abraham's too.
Yes. Yes.
Have you ever felt like that's what God's done with you at times?
Mm-hmm.
Let something look like it's a total impossibility.
Mm-hmm.
I know for me, what God spoke over me is a total impossibility. Except God.
What, that 10,000?
Yes.
Okay.
Except God. And of course, he told me he was going to do it, I wasn't. So
okay.
The good thing is, I don't have to. If I try, I will make a mess.
Yes, that's true.
Yeah, and that's what happened there. Mm-hmm. They tried to make it happen and made a mess.
That's still going on today.
Yes, well, literally today, mm-hmm. it's still going on, the war. And just in case that nobody knows it, what's going over on in Israel
mm-hmm.
is between the two
yep.
the two children that were conceived as a result.
Yep.
All right, let's go on.
With Abraham being 100, to put in perspective, that would be like Miss Dottie becoming a parent.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's go on.
For Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age, at the same time of which God had spoken to him.
Okay. Go ahead.
And Abraham called the name of his son who was born to him, whom Sarah bore to him, Isaac.
Why did she name him Isaac? What does Isaac mean?
Laughter.
Huh?
Was it laughter?
Laughter,
yes.
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 And what was the laughter all about?
Joy.
Laughing about having a baby at that age.
The insanity of that maybe.
Yeah. When God first, when the angels were speaking to Abraham about it, she was standing in the tent. She heard it and she laughed.
When they were saying, now she's going to become pregnant,
uh-huh.
and so she laughed.
She laughed.
And of course, they asked, why did you laugh? And she said,
I didn't laugh.
Well, however, Isaac's name is laughter.
Mm-hmm.
And so every time he was called, he was talking about laughter come. So their names meant something and
yes.
made a difference. Let's go on.
Then Abraham circumcised his son Isaac when he was 8 days old, as God had commanded him.
Okay. Why circumcision?
So he can be
Because what?
God. If you're going to follow God, that's a covenant to.
Okay. Anything else? What'd you say?
I said covenant, but
There, it is a covenant. You're right. Okay. However, what would happen to anybody that wasn't circumcised?
They were out.
They were not inside of not God's grace.
They weren't in the family.
They were put out of the tribe. So Abraham sets the right example, and God said to do it when?
8 days.
8 day to be circumcised. What did he do?
He did.
It's good news. He did what he was told.
Right.
I'm sure to God that's refreshing.
Oh, yeah.
I told them to do it, and they did exactly the way I told them.
Yep.
In spite of the fact they made some mess ups along the way. Let's go on.
Now Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him, and Sarah said, God has made me laugh, and all who hear will laugh with me.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, they'll laugh with him just by calling her son his mm-hmm. name. They will be laughing with her. Go ahead.
So she also said, who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? For I have borne him a son in his old age.
Yes. What is she saying? This is just amazing.
Who would have believed it?
Yes. Well, who would ever believe that God would restore their ability to get pregnant and then have a baby at that age? And she says, it is just unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm glad she's rejoicing. Let's go on.
Go ahead.
So the child grew and was weaned. Abraham made a great feast on the same day that Isaac was weaned. And Sarah saw the son of Hagar the Egyptian, whom she had borne to Abraham, scoffing. Therefore she said to Abraham, cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, namely with Isaac.
Let's stop right there. Okay, so here they are. By the way, they weaned their children at about 5 and 6 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So the kids knew what they were doing. Okay? So what was the name of the one child?
Hagar.
No, that's the mother. What's the child's name?
Ishmael.
Very good. Ishmael was laughing at whom?
Isaac.
And so it made his mom really ticked and say, I'm not going to put up with this conflict and all that. So put that woman out. Okay? Now, the last time she gave him advice, Abraham realized he had made a humongous mistake.
Right.
So what does he do this time? Let's read on.
And the matter was very displeasing in Abraham's sight because of his son.
Mm-hmm.
But God said to Abraham, do not let it be displeasing in your sight because of the lad or because of your bondwoman. Whatever Sarah said to you, listen to her voice, for in Isaac your seed shall be called.
Mm-hmm.
So what did he do?
He put her out.
No, yeah. You know,
first thing, he got upset.
What did he do?
He didn't just stuck her right away.
First of all, he got upset about her saying that, but he sought God.
Mm-hmm.
Had he sought God with the Hagar issue,
mm-hmm.
he probably would not have done it.
Mm-hmm.
This time, he sought God, and God says, okay. Now, here's what God's saying to him. We got to go back to verse 10, and let's read about halfway through. For the son of the bondwoman, who is who?
Ishmael
will not be heir with my son. Who is saying that?
Abraham,
Sarah.
They were only saying what God said.
They were repeating what God said?
What they said was exactly what God said. And by the way, how do we know? Because when he began to seek God, God said, do exactly what she said.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Okay? So she was speaking what God had to say. It wasn't just
Sarah.
Okay? She was, last time she spoke out of her emotion.
Mm-hmm.
This time, evidently, she heard what God was saying because she said what God was saying. And they said, they will not rule together. And right now, That's the competition of Israel right now. Mm-hmm. Okay? Who is going to rule? And the Palestinians, which are from
Ishmael,
are trying to take over that of
Israel.
Isaac.
Okay. Right.
Okay. Isaac's family. Mm-hmm. Okay? And so the war is going on today, literally, on who is going to rule. What has God said?
Isaac.
Listen, Ishmael will not be tied in with Isaac. So who's going to win?
Isaac.
Isaac's going to win. And we know the end of the matter. However, in between, there's a lot of ups and downs and all that. Hence, in our situations, do we believe what God has said?
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Because it can seem like it's never going to happen. Okay? But God has already spoken and said, yes, you put him out because, let's go on. I like what happens next.
Yet I will also make a nation of the son of the bondwoman because he is your seed.
Mm-hmm. Okay, go on.
So Abraham rose early in the morning and took bread and the skin of water and putting it on his shoulder, he gave it and the boy to Hagar and sent her away. And then she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. And the water.
Okay, let's stop right there for a second. How do you suppose Hagar
rejected?
Yeah.
What had she done wrong? What had she done wrong?
Nothing.
Oh. And God said that was okay. Somebody that's done nothing wrong can be thrown out and cast aside. Let's read on.
And the water in the skin was used up. And she placed the boy under one of the shrubs. And then she went and sat down across from him at a distance of about a bow shot.
By the way, why did she put him down in one place and go sit way over there?
She didn't want
to see him suffer.
She didn't want to see him starve to death. And they run out of water, die of thirst. And I imagine he might have been crying. Go ahead.
On the question that you asked a minute ago, and I don't, hopefully not getting ahead of it or anything, but what she had done wrong was when she got pregnant, she started making fun of Sarah because Sarah hadn't been able to get pregnant. So Hagar started making fun of Sarah.
Right.
And that was a part of what she did
wrong.
That
was
wrong.
a part of it.
But two, yeah, I want to point out about Hagar too, because they didn't pray. God did not tell her to lay with him and have a baby. That was their decision.
Yep.
So that's another thing that she did make a mistake.
Well, Hagar had no choice. Hagar had no choice. She was a slave, and a slave had to yield to the master.
She doesn't have to pray and see if God...
No, she had no say-so whatsoever.
Okay.
In that day, a slave had no voice.
Had to do, okay.
You know, they could kill a slave and there's no penalty to it.
Okay.
That's the whole mindset of that day.
That would be my guess.
Yeah, that's pretty rough.
Yeah,
okay, so here is, she sat a long ways away from him.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened?
She said to herself, let me not see the death of the boy. Mm-hmm. So she sat opposite him and lifted her voice and wept.
Oh my goodness, okay. So now she could hear the baby crying, and so what's she doing? She began to cry and say, God, where are you?
God and heard the voice of the lad, and then the angel of God called Hagar out of heaven.
By the way, who is the angel that called out of heaven? I firmly believe it was Jesus.
Yes.
Okay?
So do I.
Firmly, and there's reasons why, I won't go into it, but I believe it was Jesus talking to Hagar.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And Ishmael.
And not the spirit, maybe?
Hmm?
Not the Spirit?
No, I believe it was Jesus himself calling out and speaking out of heaven. I've never heard an audible voice. I know people that have. God has spoken to them in an audible voice. I haven't. But I believe, literally, Jesus came and cares about Hagar and Ishmael. Isn't that wonderful?
Yes.
Okay? That he said they have to go. Listen, he was the one who said they had to go, but.
Had to go where?
He did not abandon. Leave. Yeah, that's right.
He said to her, "What ails you, Hagar? Fear not. For God has heard the voice of the lad where he is. Arise, lift up the lad, and hold him with your hand, for I will make him a great nation."
Ooh, there we go. Mm-hmm. What is God saying?
God making him a great nation.
I haven't forgotten you or him. How often do we need that kind of word?
Amen.
That we say, I haven't forgotten you. It may look that way. It may feel that way. In other words, here they are with Abraham, all of his riches, all the food and the sheep and the servants. And here you are out there with a bottle of water and a little bit of bread that will be gone in no time. It sure would feel like God had forgotten you, but he didn't. He had Jesus come and speak to her. Person. They didn't just send an angel down. I believe Jesus came and spoke to her personally. I haven't forgotten you. Isn't
God not only that, the fact that he says, I will make him a great nation.
That's it.
Angel couldn't do that.
That's it. I don't want to go into all the explanation because there's a lot of reasons I am certain it's Jesus. But here Jesus is loving Hagar and Ishmael.
And what you were saying before, so the great nation that came from Ishmael would have been what we're dealing with today with Hamas?
Well, Hamas is part of that. Mm-hmm. It is the Palestinians and all that group there. The Palestinians, they, in case you don't understand what's really going on, you realize the Palestinians had the opportunity to have their second state. They did. They wouldn't. Hamas and the others would not let them. They wanted to create that strife going on. Okay, so they had the land, they had the money, and instead, the Hamas and the leaders used it to do tunnels and get ready for war and to fight and all that. So, what's going on there is just what God said.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that they would not rule.
And then,
with Isaac.
Then what we're saying is Isaac is where the Hebrew nation derives
yes.
from.
That's where Israel is mm-hmm. from.
Just and reiterating it for my own.
Yes. Let's go on.
Then God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water. And she went and filled the skin with water and gave the lad a drink.
Woo! God even provided the water she needed.
So God was with the lad, and he grew and dwelt in the wilderness and became an archer. He dwelt in the wilderness of Paran, and his mother took a wife for him from the land of Egypt.
Okay, so basically he married an Egyptian, mm-hmm. not one that came from the tribe of Abraham and all that, but an Egyptian. So anyway, let's go on. 1-2.
And it came to pass at that time that Abimelech and Phicol, the commander of his army, spoke to Abraham, saying, God is with you in all that you do.
Now, okay, let's stop right here.
Okay.
Let's stop for just a second. Who is Abimelech? You know who Abimelech is. Who is he? He is the king that took Abraham's wife. And because Abraham has lied and said she's my sister. And they ended up going through all that stuff, and yet they actually became friends. And Abimelech has said, you can come and live here. Okay, he gave him a section of land and all that. So now he's back to where that land is. Okay, and Abimelech comes to him and says, listen, you are God's favorite. I want to tell a little story. It's kind of cute. It just gives me a good excuse to tell it. I was talking to my brother Robert, and if you know Robert, he's a giver. God has blessed him because he's been faithful, and he is a tremendous giver into building the kingdom. And one of the Robert's favorite saying is, I am highly favored. And so Robert will say different things go on, different things happen. He said, I am highly favored. And it's only a fact, it's true. God has blessed him abundantly. However, he has a guy that he hired to run his trust plant, and has been discipling the guy from the trust plant. And he's taught him that if, as believers, we are highly favored. That's all there is to it. However, most of us don't believe it, and so therefore we don't behave that way. Mm-hmm. So anyway, this guy was getting ready to sell his house, and he's just going to build a mother-in-law's place on the new property and then move out of the house. And so he went to list it, and the realtor said, it's only worth $200,000. He said, I want to list it for $299,000. And the realtor said, it will not sell. It will just sit on the market. The value is not there. He said, what you don't understand is I am highly favored by God. Mm-hmm. So she has an open house the next day, or made that next week, whatever. And before the day was over, the house sold for $299,000.
Okay.
And he said, the only thing I can explain to you is I am highly favored by God. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you the difference between people that believe and don't believe. If you didn't believe that you're highly favored, you would have listed it for $200,000.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep.
But because he knew, he knew and believed it, he listed it for what he felt God would want him to get.
Okay.
Listen, you and I, as children of God, are highly favored.
Yes.
I did it today.
Yes.
We are. The thing is, do we live believing that? Because how we live and what we do demonstrates whether we believe that we're highly favored mm-hmm. by God. Mm-hmm. It's important you come to know God. You have a special place with God. You're His child.
Yes.
Okay. It's interesting. I have my old gray car. My wife loves the pieces, and it was leaking oil real bad because of the head gasket. So while my son Lance was here, we rebuilt the whole thing, put timing belt in it, did all new power steering, all that, redid it, so my wife can have
father
the car.
Son bonding.
Yeah, quality family time. So I did it intentionally when he was here because I would have help. Misery loves company. And so I had help. So I went ahead and fixed it, and when we got done, we took it for a drive and it had a whistle that drives my wife. Totally right. Mm-hmm. I couldn't hear it. It's one thing, not having good hearing, that I couldn't hear the whistle, only a very short time. When I was in the car, I couldn't hear it. She could hear it all the way down the street. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so God, I went and talked to my mechanic friend. I took it over there, and he looked at it, and he said, well, the whistle is coming right here. I can't tell you what it is. So we took it home, and Lance and I started looking at it, and we saw we left two bolts up. Mm-hmm. So we tightened the bolts up, and that was it. Stopped the whistle. But it went shifting and all that, so I called Don and said, hey, Don, I need to get this in so you can check it out and find out what's happening. So he did, and he found out what happened was one of the plug wires had not got all the way in, injectors had not got plugged all the way in. It was on, but not all the way in to click. Mm-hmm. And when I got done, Don gave me a bill for $51.
What?
Wow.
Now, Don has a shop fee that starts off at $120, mm-hmm. and then it's $120 an hour or whatever. Even if he only does his minimum is a half an hour. Mm-hmm. So it should have been $200. Let me tell you the explanation for that. I am highly favored
Amen.
By God.
Amen.
And it's not because I'm so good, it's because He's so good.
And you believe in it.
He's so good.
Yes.
I hope if you don't get anything else tonight, begin to understand how good your God is.
Yes.
And the place that you have because you are His sons and daughters.
Amen.
And that you are highly favored
Amen.
Too. Okay?
Amen.
That's the truth. We need to begin to walk in that truth with an expectation. Joyce Meyer, she starts her day off with that expectation that she is going to see wonderful things, that God has a good plan for her today. And I think it's good to say, not where you get arrogant thinking you're better than somebody else. You realize it's only happening because God is so good, not because you're so good. Because if you think you're so good and that you're going to either start trying to do works to deserve it, or you're going to get prideful and arrogant. And neither of those things, that can take away that position of I'm highly favored, because then God has to chasten you because you're being arrogant. So anyway, I thought that was a pretty interesting story. And here's what Abimelech says to Abraham. Okay? He said, God is with you in all that you do. Abraham was highly favored. This one.
Now therefore, swear to me by God that you will not deal falsely with me, with my offspring or my posterity, but that according to the kindness that I have done to you, you will do to me and to the land in which you have dwelt.
Okay. What is he really saying? Abimelech is saying, I'm afraid of you. You're so powerful. And you're so favored by God. I'm afraid of you. So here, let's make a promise. Let's enter into an agreement that if you're going to live here, you're going to not try to take over my territory and all that kind of stuff. Why? Because he knew that Abraham was highly favored by God. Go ahead.
That's right.
Then Abraham said, I will swear.
Why did he swear? Because Abimelech had dealt with him right when he had messed up. Okay, let's go on.
Then Abraham rebuked Abimelech because of a well of water which Abimelech's servants had seized. And Abimelech said, I do not know who has done this thing. You did not tell me, nor had I heard of it until today. So Abraham took sheep and oxen and gave them to Abimelech, and the two of them made a covenant.
Oh, that is a covenant. A solemn agreement, in other words, that you don't take lightly.
Right.
Okay? And often sealed with blood. Just enough. Okay? So he came into that agreement and gave him something as an evidence of that agreement. Go ahead.
And Abraham said, 7 ewe lambs of the flock by themselves. Then Abimelech asked Abraham, what is the meaning of these 7 ewe lambs which you have set by themselves? And he said, you will take these 7 ewe lambs from my hand, that they may be my witness that I have dug this well.
Okay, so what happened? Abraham dug another well that after Abimelech's people had stolen the well from him. And he goes and he builds another well, okay? And he goes to Abimelech and says, I'm giving you 7 ewe lambs. Here's, I read in commentary, and basically, they believe that it was a 7th well that Abraham had dug in that in the area, and he was simply saying, "This is my. I give you 7 ewe lambs, one for each well that are mine." And so that's what the commentaries think is why he gave him 7 lambs, one representing each well, and he was simply saying, "Now, you know." He said, nobody told me before, but now you know.
Okay.
Okay? And every time he sees the ewe lamb, he's reminded that's Abraham's well.
Mm-hmm.
All right? Good. Well, I think it's pretty interesting because some of the things that they do, just like giving him a reminder, is a really wise move to make.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, we have a reminder, don't we? I have a reminder right here of what?
That you're here.
That I've made a covenant with my wife.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yes.
And that way, I'll never forget.
Okay.
Of course, she won't let me forget anything.
Amen. That's right.
She will remind me. Okay. So basically, what it was is saying, you didn't know the last time. Now you have evidence that I have told you, and so these ewe lambs will represent my seven, I believe, probably had seven wells in the area. Remember, they're out really in the desert. And without water, you are dead people.
Mm-hmm.
And so the wells are really critical.
Yes.
And remember, he was an extremely rich guy.
Yep.
And so you're talking about thousands and tens of thousands of sheep and all that kind of stuff. Abraham was extremely wealthy.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go.
Therefore he called that place Beersheba, because the two of them swore an oath there.
What does Beersheba mean?
Well of the oath, well of the covenant.
Well of the covenant, mm-hmm. Yes.
So okay. Where is Beersheba?
Beersheba?
Yeah,
over in, it seemed like, if I remember correctly, the southern part of Canaan.
Okay.
Remember, he's going around Canaan, and all the land that he touches will become his. So he has dug the wells, and he is traveling around Canaan. Let's go on. Good question.
Thus they made a covenant at Beersheba. So Abimelech rose with Pichol, the commander of his army, and they returned to the land of the Philistines. Then Abraham planted a tamarisk tree in Beersheba, and there called on the name of the Lord, the everlasting God.
What is a tamarisk tree? Grove. I don't know, so I didn't look it up. But it was trees. My guess is to shade the area when they're there. He planted a grove,
mm-hmm.
and he called out to God. So basically, he was once again seeking God, probably for direction and all that. So let's go.
And Abraham stayed in the land of the Philistines many days.
Okay, so the Philistines are are the people that ultimately they're going to displace
mm-hmm.
when Joshua was there. They displaced the Philistines. Okay, it wasn't time yet. Okay,
you're right.
Why wasn't it time yet? By the way, this is only a statement. It wasn't that he was fighting with them. He was in the land of the Philistines. Okay, why wasn't he fighting them or anything? Because God had not told him to.
Right.
And God said, "It's going to be 400 years."
Yeah.
Because their wickedness is not to the full.
Exactly. Yes.
God is their wickedness is not to the full. Their cup of evil, and he pours it out on you. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, here's what he's saying. And even with Sodom and Gomorrah that we studied 2 weeks ago, okay. What did Abraham know about God? We talked about this.
That he's save any righteous man.
Right. He will not.
He will not judge the just with the
unjust.
Righteous.
With the unjust.
Yes.
Okay, very good. Yes, you guys came out. Yeah, I'm proud of you. Okay. That
so,
he knew about him that he will not kill, judge, and slay the righteous with the unrighteous.
Right. That's it.
So, God, in this case, the Philistines were not full in their wickedness.
Right.
So they had no reason to slay them,
right.
Okay? And God would protect them too, because God loves those that don't know him too.
Mm-hmm.
Right,
yes.
You know that, right?
Yes.
Oh, okay. God loves and cares about them. So
did Ishmael become a Philistine?
Did the Philistine, I don't know. Once again, now you're asking a question I haven't studied as of late.
Because if the name, what is the nation that came from Ishmael? I am pronouncing everything wrong today. So what nation came from him? But if they were already there, did he then join them?
Well, there were people there already.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So and once again, I'd have to go and study it to give you a accurate answer. Everything else would be a guess. All right?
Okay.
So he traveled, by the way, he was in that area for quite a time. This one, chapter 22. I want to study this. I want to read this. Let's go. Chapter 22.
And it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham. And he said, here I am.
What's he tempting him? What does that mean, he tempted him? Did he tempt him to sin?
No, I don't think so.
To prove him, basically to prove him.
Okay. Basically, he was testing him.
I
think the word test is probably more what I would understand. Yes, he was testing him.
That's how mine reads.
It says test here. Yeah. Mine says tempt. Okay, let's go on.
And he said, here I am. Then he said, take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains on which I shall tell you.
Okay. So, his son is probably, my guess, sometimes between 15 and 18. Mm-hmm.
That's just what I was going to ask. How old was he? I was just going to ask about how old would he be.
15 to 18, someplace in there.
Mm-hmm.
And he is his only son.
Mm-hmm.
All of the promises of God are based on what happens to Isaac.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, if he has no heir, all of his stuff will go to whomever, whatever. If he has no heir, he has no heritage. All the promises of God saying, I'm going to make you as many as the stars of the heaven and the sand of the sea. If he dies, they're all gone.
Yep.
He's his only son. So, God tests him and says, go slay your son.
Mm-hmm.
Your only son that you waited 25 years for is now 15.
Mm-hmm.
Your only son.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
A couple other things there. That word son, which is the only son, Isaac, it's in my Bible anyway, it's italicized, meaning that the translators put it in there.
Right.
And if you read it literally, it would be, take now your son, your only laughter. You're only talking, your only joy, real joy and laughter in life.
Yes.
Take him whom you love.
Yes.
And that is the first time the word love is mentioned in the Bible.
Isn't that interesting? Isn't that interesting?
Yep.
Yes.
And to go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on on one of the mountains, which I should tell you.
So, what does Abraham do? Let's read.
Okay. So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took.
By the way, the very next day, he packs up to do what? To go slay his son. That's obedience to the max.
Early in the morning.
And it doesn't make sense that God would want him to slay his son. And yet Abraham did the very next day. What God told him to do.
Yep.
By the way, obedience is only obedience when it's instant and cheerful.
Okay.
And he, maybe not too cheerfully, but more than willingly, responded right away.
Yes.
Go ahead.
So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his.
By the way, there's a reason he did that. We're going to talk about it in a minute. Go ahead.
And took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son. He split the wood for the burnt offering and rose and went to the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you.
Okay, let's stop. He had 3 days to back out. How many of you may have started doing what God told you to do, but as time went along, we backed out?
He would have had to talk to me, Pastor.
Oh, just a minute, though. He has a good reason. He didn't. No, he has a good reason he didn't.
Yeah.
And we're going to read that in just a minute.
Yes.
The neighbor said to his young men, abide here. With the ass, and the lad and I will go yonder and worship and come again to you. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 19. Hebrew is what? the heroes of faith. Okay, we call this, Hebrews chapter 11 is the story of the heroes of faith. We want to read 11:19. Somebody want to read that?
Is that before Proverbs or after?
That's in the New Testament.
New Testament near the end of your Bible.
It's read by James.
By me?
Let's read verse 17 through 19.
By faith, Abraham.
Ooh, just a minute.
Yeah.
What did he do?
By faith. Every one of us by faith.
By faith. Go ahead.
When he was
tested. What did he have faith in?
God.
Oh, hang on. Go ahead. You mean the same God that told him to go and slay his son?
Same one.
He had faith in that God?
Same one.
Give it, he can take it away.
Go ahead.
When he was tested.
I'm not going to interrupt you. Go ahead.
Pastor, you ready, boss? By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promise, see, that's what I'm saying, he knew the promise, offered up his son, his only begotten son, in parentheses, at whom it was said, in Isaac your seed shall be called, concluding that God was able to rise him up, mm-hmm. even from the dead, mm-hmm. from which he also received him in a figurative sense.
Okay.
What is it that empowered Abraham to obey?
God's promise.
His faith. What's that?
God's promise.
His faith that God
was able
to raise him up from the dead, if that's what it took.
Yep.
And so he said, I can slay my son.
And if
I can trust God.
Mm-hmm.
And boy, is he going to do a miracle if that push comes to shove.
Yep.
Yeah, well, listen, that's the edge that he had.
Mm-hmm.
Come on.
But it's took him mm-hmm. all these years and experiences of disappointment and his trying on his own and all that to finally come to that point
mm-hmm.
to have faith that God could do
mm-hmm.
what he said he could do.
Yep.
Some of the things that happen in our life, we just don't make sense. But let me tell you something. He had enough experiences with God.
Mm-hmm.
They said, if he asks me to slay him, I will slay him because I know who God is.
If he could call my wife after she had gone through yeah. the change of life,
yeah.
and after I wasn't giving up any more sperm, if he could cause us to have him,
yeah.
if I kill him, he can raise him back up.
Yeah,
he's got to be able to raise him back up.
And so
bring us back.
His statement is, he can bring him back to
yes.
life. Listen. God wants us to get to that point
mm-hmm.
in our relationship with him.
Yes.
To where we can trust him with our very lives.
Amen.
Abraham got there.
Mm-hmm.
To where he says, hey, I can do this.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know that son, God's already said, all about him,
mm-hmm.
and if he's dead,
God
will raise him up. So literally, he goes to slay him.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, literally, and he doesn't hold back anything.
Right.
He went the next day. He didn't change his mind in the 3 days while they were traveling, and he went with a boldness in God of saying, God, I don't understand what you're doing. I don't understand why you're doing it. But one thing I know about you, you can't lie. And
right.
you have all of these right. promises. And he might have been quoting all the promises while he was traveling those days.
Mm-hmm.
Saying, God promised that I'll have the seed as the stars of heaven. That I'll have children as the sands of the sea. These are the promises. I will protect you and I will be your defense and your
and
great reward.
He's not going to bring Israel back. And
that's right.
Be one.
That's right. He won't be. Listen. I bet you during the whole journey, he was just reminding himself of what God has said, and he had the courage and the faith to to slay his son because he knew his God.
Yep.
He's the same God.
Yes, he is.
Come on.
For us.
Yes, he is.
Isn't he?
Yes, he is.
Amen.
Yes. And Abraham said to his young men, "Stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go yonder and worship. And
worship.
Mm-hmm.
Woo.
And we will come back to you."
Isn't that interesting worship?
Mm-hmm.
Slaying your son.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to go and worship. By the way,
that's
real
worship.
That's
obedience.
That's real worship.
Absolutely.
Yeah. That's real worship.
And how about the fact that we will come back?
Well, once again, he knew.
We will come back.
He knew beyond the shadow of doubt. Go on.
Okay.
Someone want to read?
So Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand.
By the way, he has him carrying it. It's not laid on top of him.
Mm-hmm.
So he must be in Hebrews again, huh?
We are Genesis 22.
Genesis 22:6.
Oh, okay.
And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and the two of them went together. But Isaac spoke to Abraham his father and said, "My father."
Yes.
And he said, "Here I am, my son." And he said, "Look, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" And Abraham said, "My son, God will provide for himself the lamb for the burnt offering."
Whoo! There you go.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
So the two of them went together.
Go on.
Keep going?
Yeah.
Okay. Then they came to the place of which God had told him. And Abraham built an altar there and placed the wood in order. And he took Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord...
Can you imagine?
No. I could not.
Can you imagine his teenage son
laying there,
going along with it,
mm-hmm,
with his 115-year-old father?
Nope.
Hey, his son learned obedience from his father.
Come yep.
And didn't get up.
Right.
Well, he tied him down, I'm sure.
Yeah, down.
But he could have fought him, he could have ran.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Mm-hmm.
No. A 15-year-old against a 115-year-old, exactly. He could have run.
Mm-hmm.
No, he learned obedience. Listen to me, folks. He learned obedience from his father.
Mm-hmm.
What are you teaching your children?
Mm.
What does your life say to your children? How you behave, what does it say to your children? Because I'm convinced his son did not wrestle against him a bit.
Right? No.
Even though he didn't understand,
right,
he had learned from his father obedience.
Mm-hmm.
Go.
But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." So he said, "Here I am."
He said,
"Do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me."
Okay. He loved God more than, listen, anything else in his future.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. How would you respond? What is there that you would say no to God to?
I would hope nothing. That's all I can say. I would hope nothing.
Yeah. It's a good thing we have some instruction.
Amen.
When these circumstances come,
well,
we got the word.
That's that. If you don't know your God, that you can trust him when he tests you in this area, you will wrestle.
Yes.
But can you trust him with your very life?
Oh yeah.
Can you trust him with the life of your children? Or what would you hold back from it? We have to grow by the way, through experience.
Yes.
And through the word of studying his word and how he's dealt with others.
Yes.
And coming to know who he is. We all need to come to that point to where our love for God supersedes everything else.
Yes.
For our sake, not his. Because then you don't wrestle.
Right.
You can enjoy your relationship with God, and when you don't understand, you can say, I don't understand, but I know my God. Mm-hmm. And if you know your God, then you won't wrestle. Because Abraham knew his God and said, I know if need be, he will raise him from the dead. Mm-hmm. Even though he's given me all these promises, I can still die to all of those promises because I know who God is. In our life, we can wrestle with something that's going on in our life that we don't understand. And if you don't, you're out ahead of me. Okay? But you know what I know? You can trust God.
Yes. Yes.
You can trust God.
Yes.
And just like us as a church went through a tough spell recently, financially, and it was a real test, and you know, I didn't get a paycheck for several weeks, but it didn't change my faith in God. It didn't change our faith in God, okay? And all we did was continue to be obedient. Mm-hmm. Now the finances turned all the way back around the other way. Mm-hmm. If you know your God, you know he's going to take care of you.
Amen.
No matter what. Okay? So when he tests you, he'll start with little stuff. He doesn't start with the big stuff. He doesn't ask you to slay your son. Okay?
Please
don't. That is where he starts. That is where he starts, generally. Okay? However, it's important you learn from each incident who God is and his faithfulness and his love and his and all that. And Abraham learned along the way.
Yes.
But we can learn from Abraham, can't we?
Yes.
Amen.
Yeah. When something like that happens, you say, I can trust God.
Mm-hmm.
And tonight, it's important we learn we can trust God, because when it came down to it, what did God do? He provided the sacrifice.
Yes.
Okay? And even if he had slain him, he would have raised him from the dead.
Yes.
Amen?
Yep.
Isn't that good news?
Amen.
Amen.
Well, because the enemy will come along and say, where's your God now? Is there anybody on that seat? Where's your God now? Okay. All right, let's go.
Then Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in the thicket by its horns. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up for a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place, the Lord will provide. As it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be provided.
Okay. Another word that will provide is the Lord will see.
Mm-hmm.
So both of them. And God showed it with Abraham.
Yeah. Jehovah Jireh.
Yes. Amen. All right. Will. Interesting study.
Yes, I'll take it. Him and Job is kind of like brothers.
Yes. By the way, Job lived during the same period that Abraham did.
Yep, really.
Yeah, isn't that interesting?
Yep.
I think Abraham was ahead of Job by years, but they were on the earth at the same time, and God at work. Well, will you have trials?
Sorry?
Will you have trials?
Yes. Yes.
Will you have tests?
If you live.
Will you have tests?
If you live.
Will things happen that you just don't understand?
If you live.
Yes.
Will
we fail? Yes. Yes.
Here's the good news. God is with you.
Yes.
He will never leave you nor forsake you. He loves you. He will not let anything happen to you that won't ultimately do you good.
Amen.
At the moment, it doesn't feel that way.
Right.
But ultimately, it will do you good because you're his son and his daughter.
Amen.
Even when we failed a test.
Yes.
You know what's so gracious? What's awesome? It's that if you fail the test, what do you know?
You got to do it again.
He'll give you a chance to do it.
Second chance, not third chance, not fourth chance.
Go around that mountain. You sound like you're an expert.
I got a big trail on that mountain.
All right. Awesome. Awesome study.
Yes.
Awesome God, by the way.
Yeah.
Was he trying to hurt Abraham?
No.
Let me tell you what I personally believe. You can disagree with me because none of you. I believe that Abraham was having a hard time letting his son just be. Because he was afraid something could happen to him. Mm-hmm. And he was his only son.
Oh,
and
yeah.
He couldn't go out and play football when the other kids were playing football. And so God said, listen, I'm going to set him free.
Okay.
And literally, by him taking him through that test.
I waited so long.
What happened?
It's kind of hard to just let him go.
And what did he do? He literally let his son go.
Yep. Yep.
Okay? Now he could enjoy him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Listen. Free. Anything, listen to me, this statement's really important. Anything you feel like you cannot live without owns you.
Mm.
He was free from that fear, and he could let his son go live in that normal life.
Amen.
Okay? That's what I heard. God did it for Abraham's good. By the way, we also see the type of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
That's right there, his only son. He gave his only son. So we see the type ahead of it. But I believe he was actually doing it for Abraham and Isaac's good.
Mm-hmm.
Because he needed to have a normal life. And we can begin to live out of fear. And I believe Abraham lived out of fear. And he couldn't enjoy his son the way he could after this happened. So God even has his reasons. He's not just playing, he's not just playing games with us.
Amen.
And it's always to do us good. You may not feel that way in the middle, but it's always to do us good. He loves us. He doesn't play head games with us. He wasn't playing head games with Abraham.
Nope.
I believe he was literally trying to set him free so that his son and he could have a normal relationship. Amen?
A thriving one, too.
What's that?
A thriving one.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, because now he'd go out there and play. He said, hey, God took care of him there. He'll take care of him here, too. I don't have to protect him from getting hurt or all the promises. There's God's promises. And he went all the way through God's promises and said, I give all of God's, by doing it, he said, I give all your promises to you, God. Right?
Amen.
Because I believe, well, he went. He thought of all the promises of God. That's what had him say, I can trust God. I'll give all the promises to you, God.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. That's when we can really begin to enjoy our God. When we don't cling to things and hold to things and all that. Well, God, thank you.
Thank you, Lord.
Yes.
Thank you for this story.
Yes.
That happened with your friend, Abraham.
Thank you, Lord.
And God, we want to give you lordship over everything.
Yes, Lord.
So we can enjoy it. And God, it's amazing who you are.
Yes.
And truly, you're the same God for us that you were for Abraham.
Yes.
Might we come to know you as such. Thank you that we are highly favored.
Thank you, Lord.
And blessed. In Jesus' name.
Jesus. Amen.